What's with Vlad Bomer and all the fire? Now, if you ask me rationally, I think the rational explanation is that on a yard site, Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim HaBom Rav Yosef, I would say that on a yard site, maybe we'll be able to understand a little bit more why this is so. On a yard site, fires are lit. A candle is lit. And what happened was that there were many, many, many people that were coming to Meiron, and eventually those candles became a bonfire. But it could very well be that there's something a lot deeper about fire and Lag Boimer. Two more questions. Lag Boimer is referred to as a Hilula Dirashbi. Nowadays it's popular to say Lag Sameach. But if you look in the language of the Svarim HaKadoshim, it's referred to as a Hilula. A Hilula in Aramaic means a wedding. The wedding of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What exactly is that referring to? A wedding of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? And the third question, if one opens up the Shulchan Aruch, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai deeply believed in, as we will discuss, even though some people think that they're two opposite worlds, you'll see that in the day of a ptira, of a tzaddik, there's a halacha of Yom Shemos Meispo Aviv, or Yom Shemespo Tzaddik, is a fast day. Lo Aleinu, if someone has a yard site for a parent, and even there are some chassidim who had a yard site for a rebbe, in Shulchan Aruch it's a fast day, it's not a joyous day. And clearly, even within the system of halacha, we don't say Tachnun on Lag Boimer. So three questions. What's up with the fire? Why is it that we refer to this day as a Hilula? What does that mean? It's the wedding of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And why is it particularly Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's day is referred to as a Yom Tov? The Siyata D'Shmaya, to answer these questions, I think we need to go and maybe give ourselves a perspective that we probably knew all these pieces, but maybe just put them together a little bit about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's life. And of course, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's life doesn't start with his own life. It starts with his great Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the ultimate representation of Mesiras HaTorah. In the Svarim HaKadoshim, Rabbi Akiva is on a certain level a Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Akiva's life, though, its backdrop, if I could best capture it in my own personal life, would be what I heard from a student of Rav Huttner or Rav Soloveitchik, who ultimately was not religious. And I asked him, he was a world-class philosopher, I asked him, was it the philosophy? Said to me, Chaim, no, it wasn't the philosophy. He looked me in the eye. And I grew up in the 1980s and the 1990s. And he said to me, Chaim, you have absolutely no idea what it was like to be a Jew in 1946 and 1947 in New York. You have no idea. You have no idea what it was like to be a Jew after the Holocaust, when everybody thought that no one knew what was going to happen over here. He said, you have absolutely no idea what it was to be a Jew at that time. That's the way I relate a little bit to the period of Rabbi Akiva. And I'll explain. Rabbi Akiva lives during the period of Churban Habayis, Roman oppression. Torah is almost impossible to be found. That is why Reshbi has to disappear amongst the caves. And the greatest tragedy of all is not the tragedy from without, but it's the tragedy from within. The tragedy of Rabbi Akiva on a certain level, and many levels, feels entirely unsuccessful. His Talmidim have died. Lo nagu kavol zeh bezeh. His ultimate message probably deeply connected to the turmoil of the Jewish people during Churban. Millions have been killed. There's barely any Torah learned. And there you have, and you have this figure who is the representation of Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and the world is entirely falling apart. And Rabbi Akiva the Gemara Yevamos goes and he starts again. And of course, here comes something that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents and changes the Jewish world forever. And hopefully not just only changes the Jewish world in history, but changes us a little bit, going from Lag BaOmer to Lamed Aleph BaOmer. What metaphor is used in Chazal to describe Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva emphasizes water. Rabbi Akiva does tshuva, the ultimate story, the ultimate fairy tale, because he sees water piercing through a stone. If I could be mechadish tonight, Rabbi Akiva represents the Torah of Mayim, the Torah of water. Yaroiv kamotor lichi, water that comes from above and nurtures below. Rabbi Akiva, what's his metaphor? Miminoi eishtas hashara. Torah is referred to as both eishtas and yarov kamotor lichi in the end of Sefer Devarim. Rabbi Akiva's Torah is like the Torah of fire. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the Torah of fire. He comes out of the cave. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai comes out of the cave. And what does he do? When people aren't on that madrega, that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Rashbi, you're being too tough. Fire is what emerges. What's the difference between water and fire? Water is a consummate amount, is a certain circumscribed amount that nurtures. If you put the right amount of water to a tree, you can't put too much, but you for sure can't put too little, and the sun is shining, then it will nurture, it will grow. It comes from a below and it above and it nurtures below. Rabbi Akiva's Torah is the Torah, the ultimate representation of the Torah of Halacha, what we refer to as the Torah's Hanigla, the revealed Torah. The Torah which nurtures daily life from the moment that we wake up until the moment that we go to sleep and throughout our existence. Halacha is clear. It's circumscribed. It's direct. That's the Teiras Hamayim of Rabbi Akiva. And it goes, it's Dvar Hashem that tells us how we are supposed to nurture ourselves in this world. From Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid till the point of Tov Lev Mishtet Tamid. Beginning of Shulchan Aruch to the end of Shulchan Aruch. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sees that the Teiras Hamayim at times doesn't always succeed. Because it's not only dependent on the one that's delivering it. It's depending on the one who's receiving it. And his Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, were not successful in receiving it. And the world is in shambles. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai pulls out and reveals something that's entirely different. And that's the Torah of fire. The Torah's Hanister. Torah's Hanister of a spark that emphasizes the spark of every Jew and can ignite all of Klal Yisrael. And this is the amazing feature of fire. The amazing feature of fire is that one spark could send a tremendous fervor. It could create an inferno. A spark could create an inferno. The spark of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the spark of the neshama that desires to escape, not to nurture, but to escape a reality. The Klausenberger Rebbe, after the Holocaust and during the Holocaust, was a person who represented the fire of Torah, and he showed Jews that they're able to escape the reality that they were in. The entire world around them could be destroyed, but as long as there's one Jewish spark that's continuing, then ultimately all of Klal Yisrael, all of Torah, all the Messiah could be reignited. And you don't have to be a scholar. Torah's Hanistah emphasizes that every Jew has that spark. The Torah of Halacha, if you have the water, you can nurture something else. If you don't have the water, if you weren't Mekabel Torah, if you weren't Mekabel Torah Sanigla, you can't create a Yesh Me'ayin. You got the Umatzasa. A person needs to fill himself up with that Mayim to be able to pass it on to others. But the spark of the Teres Hanister is different. A person with a passion can make changes, deep, 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 deep changes. Rabbi Reichman Shlita says that there were three people. Let's go back now to something that we can relate to a little bit more, or at least I can relate to. 1945, 1946. There were three Jews who came from that entire Churban, where everything was destroyed. Rabbi Reichman Shlita emphasizes three. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal, Soloveitchik Zatzal, and Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zatzal. All three of them said, I'm going to take the last spark, the last spark of Bris. I'm going to take the last spark of Chabad, and I'm going to take the last spark of Kletzk. In Rabbi Reichman's words, Soloveitchik said, I could take a college boy. I could take someone who went to Harvard and share with him the beauty of Brisk, and he could become a Brisker London. And now there are thousands in America, Bli Ayin Hara, Kein Yirbu, thousands in America, because of Soloveitchik was determined. There weren't a lot of sparks in that shir beginning. Mirtz Hashem, for those of you who are going to Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, the Beis Medrash is full at night. You hear from our Rabbeim that once upon a time the Beis Medrash, there were a few people, there were a few, Rav Willig, Rav Shechter. Rav Willig's son actually told me that Rav Willig and Rav Shechter decided not to learn at a certain time in the Beis Medrash because the Beis Medrash was so empty. So they learned in Rav Shechter's house. But Klal Yisrael believes that there's a spark that we could take and that could actually create something much bigger than we ever dreamed. Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal said that I could take the spark of Chabad and I could bring it to any corner of the world. A shliach felt the need to go emphasize that point, and he went to the North Pole and he buried a Tanya in the North Pole. I'm not sure exactly what the point of that was, but maybe this is the point. To show the Rebbe's point, he was going to take the koach of Chabad and bring it everywhere. And it could go anywhere, to Las Vegas, to the North Pole, everywhere. And Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal said that the fire and the hasmada of Amelus of Kletzk, I remember when I was a child, which is way after 45 and 46, there were still people who were saying such a thing like Lakewood can't last. And Rav Aaron said, no. Hasmada could exist even in America. And it can last. And Baruch Hashem, we have these three beautiful traditions that hopefully we should internalize. The message of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, that we should all join together in all three of the Mesorahs. Us proud of our Mesorah, them being proud of their Mesorah, and them being proud of their Mesorah, and recognize that all of that creates the inferno of Torah and the tremendous rebirth in the United States of America. Let's go back to the questions. Why is it called a Hilula? Why is it called a wedding? Says the Ramak. If there's one entity that represents the idea of neshama, the idea that a person is not really or simply where his body is, it's the Zohar. The Zohar represents the aspiration of every person. Some could formulate it and some can't. But if one sees Klal Yisrael's draw to Lag BaOmer, that's the desire for everyone in Klal Yisrael, Litvish, Hasidish, Mesorati. Everyone's desire to try to be connected to something that's above our corporeal being. And the one who embodied that was Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Rav Shimon bar Yochai almost disappears. He disappears in the cave. No one sees him. And he's Poel Yeshuas. Because Rav Shimon bar Yochai, he's entirely neshama. The Ramak writes this. Of course he passes away. Of course every human being has to pass away. And one understands, leaving aside where Chazal used different expressions and one needs to understand that in different ways, based on the different Masoros, we'll understand that in different ways. But Rav Shimon bar Yochai passes away, but the entire celestial world rejoices. A wedding is when two entities that were apart, who are really, really supposed to be together, are rejoined. When Neshama passes away, there are two things that happen for an average person. In the world of halacha, in the world of halicha, there's sadness. The guf is gone. But Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who represents the soaring of the Jewish soul, that's referred to in Svarim HaKadoshim as a yivulah. That's why specifically Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and ulai, im lav neviim b'nei neviim heim, the fires are not only simply the ner neshama, but the fire represents our aspiration to try to go higher and closer. Not to be trapped by where we think our physical bodies might be. That our neshamos are mamish, mamish soaring. Rabbi Akiva, for no fault of his own, the Torah's Hanigla fails, and in times of Churban, personal Churban and national Churban, we have to introduce that spark. That means, B'siyata D'Shmaya, now, going from Gimel Ba'omer to Lamed Aleph Ba'omer, is a time for us to be Ma'orer, that fire inside of us. In fact, the Gemara in Gittin, on Daf Samach Zayin, says as follows. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai describes of himself. I would like to interpret that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is saying, you guys misunderstood my Rebbe. The Gemara describes Rabbi Akiva as Oitzer Blum. Rabbi Akiva represents all of Torah. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai contrasts himself and he says as follows. Tochen harbe, this is the Gemara describing a narrative in the Gemara. Tochen harbe, umatza kima. He would grind a lot, and he would prepare a little. He had this great Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva knew kol ha-Torah kula. We, Baruch Hashem, we're zocha to have Rabbeim like that. And sometimes we feel that compared to their yediyas ha-Torah, we're nothing. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Gemara describes, he wasn't an Otzer Blum. On their levels, obviously. He was an Otzer Blum. But rather, what is he? Tochen harbe, he grinds a lot. Umatza kima. And Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, Shanumi daisai, learn from this. Shemi daisai trumois umi trumois mi daisav shal Rabbi Akiva. Because you should know, Rabbi Akiva did not become Rabbi Akiva because he was a genius. It was the tchina, it was the grinding, the tension, the amelus. Of course, how is fire created? Through tension. There's tension, and then there's a leap. There's a desire for a person to go higher. He needs to work. Says Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the other Talmidim didn't realize this. They thought it was just beautiful, pure water. Came out so simply. We hear Rav Shechter Shlita say, Shir comes out so simply, so beautiful. It feels like he's opening a file, a computer file. If you ask Rav Shai Shechter, he said there was never a moment he saw his father without a sefer. It all comes from a melus. That which seems easy came from very, very, very hard work. And that's what we're supposed to be over ourselves. That if we're tochen kima, we're tochen, and we're ochel kima, we could accomplish a tremendous, tremendous amount. It's also a time, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai wants us to emphasize the spark in every single Jew, the Kedusha of every single Jew. When it comes to the Torah Sanigla, so then you can measure it. You can measure how many daf a person did. Water could be measured. Fire can't be measured. The sanctity of a Jew can't be measured. The hashpa that a Jew can have can't be measured. I went over to Rav Reichman afterwards and I asked him about a couple of other Gedolei Torah in America who might have known more Torah, might have been bigger Gedolim than the other three great Gedolim that I mentioned. But at the end of the day, he chose those three because those three had in their neshamas in very, very different ways and in their desires and their pursuits to create a spark that would change their communities. Just because a person knows less Torah doesn't mean that they can't be mashpia in the world in a way that others who might know more Torah can. And finally, that fire represents a passion. A deep passion that's inside. An ability for a person to look at the world in a way that no one else or most other people are not seeing and see a potential that most others don't see. One of my favorite stories about Rav Aaron Kotler, with this I conclude, was that Rav Aaron went with a administrator, then was the initial stages of Beis Medrash Gevoa in Lakewood, to register Lakewood as a rabbinical college. And they went to the city, and they went to meet a fellow who was a bureaucrat, who was in charge of registering colleges. And Rav Aaron comes with the administrator. Now, the reason why Rav Aaron went with someone else is Rav Aaron barely spoke English. And the bureaucrat says to him, "What can I do? How can I help you?" So the fellow, the administrator that's with Rav Aaron, says, "We'd like to register our school as a rabbinical college." He says, "Okay, describe to me a little bit your curriculum." So he tells them that they learn Talmud, they learn Bible, and they learn Talmud to train rabbis. Rav Aaron grabs the fellow by the sleeves, and he says to him with a heavy Lithuanian Yiddish, "Vajokster? What are you saying?" So he tells him what he's saying in Yiddish. So Rav Aaron says, "Name! Zogem Torah Lishma." Tells him to tell this bureaucrat, "Tell him Torah Lishma." This administrator is caught in quite a spot over here. So he says, "The rabbi wants me to emphasize that in order to train rabbis, we need them to study not for in order that they become wealthy, not that they become smart, but in order to study for the sake of studying." This repeats itself. Rav Aaron grabs him again. He says, "Vajokshtev." He repeats them in Yiddish, said, "Name, Zogem Torah Lishma." And this went back and forth three times. I don't know how it resolved itself. But Rav Aaron was determined. Tell them Torah Lishma. It's possible for Torah Lishma to exist in the United States of America. Rav Soloveitchik spoke about Torah Lishma in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. But in 1945, 1946, you had to have a tremendous spark in your neshama to be able to believe that you could do that. In your communities, you could take a spark from Shiva Torah Shraga, from the Grus Kolal, and transform things. You have to have a neshama. You have to access your neshama, and you have to be able to see beyond what the goof sees. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya to internalize the beautiful, beautiful messages of Rav Shimon bar Yochai and bizocha to thrive in the Teres HaMayim and the Teres HaEsh, to be able to, on the one hand, be mekabel Yarov Kamatar Lichi, that we transform our daily lives. Without Yarov Kamatar Lichi, everything could chas v'chalil be distorted. Those who have turned away from an emphasis of learning Gemara and Halacha, that leads to dangerous places. A spark could also turn into a fire that could kill. There's something called Kabbalah with a C in Los Angeles. Not exactly what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had in mind. Dialectics are good. We need to learn how to be able to live both. The Teres HaEsh and the Teres HaMayim and B'siyata D'Shmaya B'Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in both the Teres HaEsh and the Teres HaMayim.